listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. This is Amanda Harrison and I'm here with Tim Tarantine to talk a little bit about this industry that we love. But before we hear about who Tim had the pleasure of speaking with this week and interviewing, we want to talk a little bit about one of the critical issues that we keep hearing over and over again on both this podcast with the site consultants and also on our other track, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. And that is the issue of workforce development. So instead of just hearing about it over and over again and knowing that it's an issue, we've decided to put together a training that will actually help take these concepts and create tangible takeaways to help people with this issue. So Tim, tell us about the workforce workshop.
Sure. Amanda, you're absolutely right. We hear consistently that from site selectors that communities and economic developers have to be authentic to themselves. And one of the ways they can be authentic is to deal with their workforce. Workforce is the biggest question for those companies. They want to know who your workforce is. So this training is really a tool building training. It is a opportunity that really just focuses on workforce and how you deal with it to really examine the workforce. We want to help communities and economic developers be able to diagnose their workforce, to really look at the data. We also want to figure out how to document and describe your data. So to your boards, to your stakeholders, et cetera. We also talk about effective ways to disperse or to market that workforce data and to really understand how and effective strategies, getting that information out, and then building the discipline to build into your daily practice ways to pay attention to measure and to accelerate workforce in your communities and regions. And so it's an amazing opportunity. Kate McEnroe will be with us to dig deeper. We'll have speakers and opportunities for group time. There's all kinds of ways to engage workforce. So if workforce is an issue for you, please, ma'am, please, sir, go to consultantconnect.org and sign up for the workshop. It's in June 24 and 25 in the beautiful city of Chicago. And as a part of your registration, we take care of your hotel stay. So it's a great time to come to Chicago for 2 half days of training to enjoy the beautiful city and to grow your capacity as an economic developer.
All right. Well, we hope to see you all there and taking advantage of this resource on an issue that everyone needs to be paying attention to today. But back to the point of our podcast, and that is to hear some expertise and insights from one of North America's top 50 site consultants. And today, that is Larry Gingrich. So Tim, tell us how your conversation with Larry went.
My conversation with Larry was great. He is the managing director at Genovis Consulting. And Larry has over 20 years of local and state experience in economic development. The numbers for Larry are just astounding when you think about the impact he's had on people's lives. He's worked on over 500 different economic development projects, over $10 billion in new capital investments.
Wow.
He's helped to create over 80,000 new jobs and retain 160,000 existing jobs in the communities he's worked with. He's worked with companies from agrosciences to Oracle down to the finish line. Larry is a leader in site selection. He also was instrumental in building the Indianapolis and Central Indiana Technology Partnership. Some of you might know that as TechPoint. And that's really all about nurturing and growing emerging technology companies throughout the state of Indiana. He continues to be a leader in the industry, and I hope you'll gain some great insights from my conversation with him. So with no further ado, let's hear what Larry's got to say. Larry, this is Tim Tarantine with Consultant Connect. So glad to have you on the call today. Congratulations for being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants. So glad you're on the call. Welcome to this call. And I know you're going to give us some great feedback today. So we're glad to have you.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be participating.
So before we jump in too far, we ask everyone we talk to, what are 3 things everyone should know about Larry?
Well, from a, I guess a, maybe a thinking about from a personal perspective, I'm a father of four children, including 15-year-old triplets, two boys and a girl. So it's certainly certainly been an interesting ride having triplets, and certainly my wife deserves all the credit because she's had the hardest work to do. Kind of another interesting note would be my best friend from college is the head basketball coach at UCLA, Steve Alford. Then the final thing, I guess thinking about something maybe that most people don't know about me, I'm a huge Frank Sinatra fan. So my favorite music is Frank Sinatra and that type of music. So the Sinatra station on Sirius is often on at home, much to the chagrin of my children. So
that's right. And I tell you, I love Frank. I can't imagine turning that over to my 16-year-old daughter and saying, "Hang out with me." So you've got triplets at 15. I'm sure they go back and forth about Frank. Great, great to know those things about you. Let's go back to your genesis in site selection. How did you first get involved in this industry, or did this industry kind of choose you? Did you go seek it, or did it go the other way?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've spent most of the last 26 years working in economic development. So I spent 10 years working in the government and not-for-profit side of economic development, and was blessed to have the experience of working in local, regional, and state-level economic development. So I saw it really from all sides of the government and not-for-profit side, which was a great foundation for me. And then I left economic development for 3 years in the late 90s to join a friend of mine in helping to grow a healthcare software company, a technology and IT, a healthcare IT business in the late 90s. And he came in as CEO with a large amount of venture capital, and I was about the 20th employee. And then we grew the company to about 150 people, and then we sold it to another firm. And after I transitioned it, as a part of the senior management team, we transitioned to the new owners. I decided to take 2 months off. At that point, our triplets were about to turn 2 years old, and I wanted to take a little bit of time to think about what I wanted to do next. So long story short, I decided I missed economic development, but I wanted to do it on the corporate side and enter the site selection world. And at that point, I started my own firm a little over 13 years ago.
Wow. So after all of that diverse experience, being out in the private sector and the not-for-profit sector in economic development, I'm sure you've had some insights about what this industry is really all about. Tell me how you define success today as a site selector with that diverse background.
Yeah, I think for me, it's in our team, and I'm fortunate to have a fantastic team. We have 10 people in our organization today as we've grown just from me 13 years ago. And I think it's a couple things. For us as a firm, certainly the ability to continue to attract clients and do work for them, and many clients doing repeat work for repeat projects, I think is a sign of success. I think as we work with economic development organizations, cities, regions, states, for us is, you know, really setting an objective and then going about executing it. I think that's how ultimately success is defined, whether, you know, it's what we do every day or, you know, economic development people representing an area, what they do. And then I think the other part that I would mention, kind of the final point, would be having the outcome where multiple parties benefit. We have never been a firm that, as we've done our site selection work over the years, where we felt like, you know, our client needs to be the winner and the community and the state need to be the loser, so to speak. That we really believe in all parties not only feeling good about the outcome, but benefiting from it. Because at the end of the day, you know, we help our client decide where to expand or locate a new facility. And wherever they do the project, they're going to live and work with that local community and state for a long, long time.
Sure.
And that's why I think we approach it in that manner.
Absolutely. And that's a great approach to take it from, because, as you said, there's long-term implications for every decision that's made. And you want companies to be fully participatory in the community. As you think about the clients you have today, We're post the downturn. Everybody's not out of the water, but obviously the economic climate, there are some thumbs up going on, right? So tell us what the key issues for your clients and companies today are, what you're seeing as kind of the trends, and then what can economic development groups do about it?
Yeah, I think for us, there's a handful of key issues as we talk to our clients and things that they are either most concerned about or that really are driving their decisions. Human capital, not surprisingly, probably is the number one issue. So understanding the quality of the labor, the quantity of the labor available in a market, and then also understanding what, from a labor cost standpoint, what the picture looks like. So I think human capital in 90 to 95% of our clients' projects is the absolute number one driver. Mm-hmm. I think the second one that's critical from an issue perspective is kind of speed to market or speed to implementing your project, maybe said a different way. As you think about it, I think the five-year economic downturn we went through conditioned companies a little bit differently. And by that, I mean they were waiting as long as they could to make a decision to move forward with a project, whether it was a relocation, expansion, or a new facility. Sure. But once they made the decision to do something, they wanted to go very rapidly. So I think being able to work with communities, regions, states, economic development professionals to move through a process quickly is ever increasingly important and probably has been the greatest change I've seen in, you know, doing this for over 25 years that's occurred in that process. And then just a couple others I would note. Certainly, I think business climate remains an important issue. So tax structure, but it's not that does not mean the lowest cost tax location all the time. There's a balance between having a good business and tax climate, but also making sure you're in a place where there's investments being made by government in the right types of things, mm-hmm. infrastructure, education, workforce, those kinds of things. And then finally, you know, real estate cost and economic development incentives. Those would be the other two things that are really important. And as we, on the incentive issue, we always tell our clients, look, you should never, ever make a decision on incentives alone. Everything else has to work first for a decision to go forward. And then the incentives become important because typically on a project, when you get down to two or three finals locations, the numbers usually end up being pretty close when you evaluate everything, as do the qualitative factors. So the incentives become important then, but should never be a driver for a decision.
Great points, great insights. Let's kind of continue that question. And I'm going to combine two questions here. You know, there seems to be some thoughts or perceptions of inequity when it comes to budgets of economic development organizations and their ability to market. So what marketing strategies work best on you, and where should economic developers put their resources, regardless of budget, in terms of their marketing efforts to the site selection community?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think there's a couple of thoughts. I think number one, certainly anything that can be done digitally, and electronically. So I know as a firm, our team likes to consume a lot of information, but we like to do it digitally or electronically. So I think organizations that share with us their newsletters, again, whether it's local, state, regional, not-for-profit, economic development, whatever it is, I think that's a great strategy. And we also like to see press releases for when projects were announced or tombstones, electronic tombstones that summarize a project or, you know, a brief case study. So I think that's one area. I think certainly anytime a community or state can secure earned media in any way. So whether it's a placement in a magazine, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Financial Times of London can, you know, get a mention in there, whether it's about a company in their area, something innovative they're doing in their area, some strategy they're implementing. I think that is a very positive and influencing thing. And then I think for us, the other two things, you know, we love to host groups that come to our office. Now, we will only meet with regional and state groups, because if we took every meeting request from every city or county economic development, you know, we would never be able to do our work for our clients. But we love to have regional and state representatives come see us and talk about what's going on in their area, and we like to host them. And often, being in the Midwest, you know, we'll get a lot from the Midwest where they'll just drive and come see us, which makes it more cost effective. And then finally, for those communities that can put together, you know, a business familiarization trip, which I know sometimes that requires a bigger investment, but I will tell you that is very impactful. We have probably 4 of our 10 people who will participate in a couple of fam tours each year, but that exposes us to new areas or updated information about areas we have some experience in. And that's a great, I think, great thing to do as well.
Sure. Outstanding insights. I appreciate you sharing those with us. The final question, and I'll get you out of here on this one. If you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would you tell them?
I think it's deliver on your promises. You know, one of the things that we spend a lot of time thinking about and also talking about with our clients is our confidence level in a place being able to deliver. And are they being realistic with timelines? Does their track record reflect what they're telling you? So the one thing I would say is deliver on the promises you make, because if you do, we are much more likely to come back to your area again when we have a client that the profile of that community, region, or state fits, because we know they're going to do what they say they're going to do, and that's very important.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you and all the work you're doing. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And, of course, congratulations on being named by many of your peers as one of North America's top 50 site decision influencers. Thank you, and we look forward to continued work in the future.
Thanks so much, Tim. I appreciate your time, and certainly let me know if there's anything else I can provide for you.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.